You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, everybody. It is Thursday, March 4th, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and on today's episode, we've got a really cool conversation coming up a little bit later with Spencer Davis, who is the pitch development coordinator at Next Level Athletic Development in Virginia, where he spent this offseason working with Orioles prospect Brennan Hanafy to work out, you know, some of his stuff and get him ready for his 2021 minor league season. So that is going to come up a little bit later after the break here on the pod. But first, just wanted to look back at the last 2 days of spring training games for the Orioles. Of course, neither were on TV provided by either the Orioles or the Yankees or Braves, but the Orioles split the two games, and we start with the game on Tuesday, the Orioles falling to the Yankees by a score of 4-2 in that one. Now, of course, we didn't get to see it with our own eyes, but there was a little video put out by Joe Trezza of MLB.com and John Mioli of the Baltimore Sun, really the two main Orioles beat writers who are down in Sarasota covering spring training. So we're kind of relying on them for a lot of video of some of these games. And, you know, from Tuesday's game against the Yankees, you know, things you want to take away that went well. You know, John Means got the start. Wasn't great, but you don't want to look too much into that. I want to look into what the bullpen did, kind of a couple pitchers after John Means. The last four pitchers of the game was a seven-inning game, so guys who pitched the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh did not allow a base runner for the Orioles. It started with Cesar Valdez in the fourth. He struck out the side. Then they went to the knuckleballer Mickey Janis, 34-year-old knuckleballer. He went 1-2-3 in the fifth. Tanner Scott, 1-2-3 with two Ks in the sixth, and Cole Sulcer, 1-2-3 with a strikeout in the seventh. So that was pretty good news, you know, against the Yankees. Of course, there were a lot of backups, minor league younger guys in there by the time, especially the Tanner Scott and Sulcer were in there. But a really good sign, especially for Cesar Valdez, who, you know, had all that success against the Yankees last year. And his first appearance of the spring, it was Mike Tauchman that he struck out to start it, and then a couple of Yankees prospects came up after that. But, you know, that was kind of what you look for from the pitching for the Orioles. On the hitting side, you know, it was Cedric Mullins that kind of stole the show. We've talked about it, you know, how he has officially this spring stopped switch hitting. He will no longer hit from the right side and has just become a left-handed batter. And he had to go left on left in this game early because the Yankees started the left-hander Jordan Montgomery, and it still worked out for Mullins. He got two left-on-left hits in this game, one off Jordan Montgomery and one off the left-hander Tyler Lyons as well. Ended up with a 2-for-3 with an RBI and a run scored. So a good sign for Mullins that, you know, that was really the worry. Stop switch hitting. Can he still hit left-on-left? But it's gone so far so good in this spring. Moving forward to Wednesday's game, the Orioles picked up their first victory of the spring, beating the Atlanta Braves 8-1 in another seven-inning game. Of course, the big thing coming out of that one was Adley Rutschman, who was in the starting lineup for the Orioles as the DH. She played the entire game. He struck out in his first three at-bats, but in his final at-bat had an RBI double off the wall in right center field, hitting from the left side of the plate. And you know that double, the swing looked good. Go check out our Twitter. Check out John Mioli's Twitter, who got a good video of it from the spring training site from the Braves Stadium. And you know, it just wasn't off some random minor league pitcher. It came off of Patrick Weigel, a right-hander for the Braves, who did make his major league debut with Atlanta in 2020 and is fighting for a bullpen spot for the Braves this year. So you know, it wasn't just some single A guy. He got a hit off of a major league caliber pitcher, and that was nice to see for Adley Rutschman. Of course, the other stories from the game Wednesday, Austin Hayes is now 4-for-5 in spring training. He had two more hits and two RBIs, had a single in the first inning, then had a two-run homer later in the game. And DJ Stewart also homered in the game, hit another two-run homer. Remember, he also went deep off of Aaron Nola back in Monday's game against the Phillies. This one for DJ Stewart, not quite off of Aaron Nola, However, it'll still do for Stewart as it came off of Carl Edwards, the reliever who has previously been with the Cubs in the big leagues for a while. He signed a contract with the Braves this offseason, and Stewart was able to take him deep in the fourth inning, another homer to right field. And then on the pitching side for the Orioles from Wednesday's game, not as much to take away. Dylan Tate gave up a home run, but the stuff looked pretty good. Apparently, he was in the upper 90s. Wade LeBlanc threw two scoreless innings, and Ashton Godot, the guy the Orioles claimed off waivers from the Rockies, finished off the game with two scoreless hitless innings out of the bullpen. So that's kind of wrapping up, you know, the last 2 days of spring training action. Again, the Orioles are in action once again today, a 1:05 Eastern time start against Boston. They will be back on TV where we can watch them on Sunday. They will take on the Pirates on Sunday once again, but this one will be broadcast by AT&T Sportsnet in Pittsburgh, so you'll be able to catch that one on MLB TV or other means, but we'll continue to keep you updated on things happening in the games that aren't on TV. But moving on now to Brennan Hanafy, as we talked about at the top. Hanafy, of course, a fourth-round pick by the Orioles back in the 2016 draft out of Turner Ashby High School in Bridgewater, Virginia. He's had a pretty good time in the minors so far. 2017, after he was drafted and did not pitch the rest of that 16 season, at 19 years old, he went to Aberdeen. He made 12 starts, had a 2.75 ERA, numbers really, really good. Then he spent the entire 2018 season in Delmarva as a 20-year-old, made 23 starts and had a 2.86 ERA in 132 innings. So he continued to dominate. So he got called up to High A Frederick in 2019 as a 21-year-old, and the numbers weren't as good. He made 22 starts and had a 4.60 ERA in 129 innings. And the big thing for him, you know, he's never been a big-time strikeout pitcher. His strikeout numbers between 5 and 6 Ks per 9 throughout his minor league career so far. But going into that season at Frederick, he had 1.5 walks per nine in his career. He walked 4 batters per nine over 129 innings. He had 57 walks in that 2019 season with the Keys. So that's something he wanted to work on. And, you know, also wanted to maybe get a little more swing and miss out of his game. You know, he'd been known as a sinker ball pitcher, but wanted to get more depth on that sinker, wanted to improve his secondary pitches as well. So Hanafy went back to the Next Level Athletic Development Center in Virginia and worked with Spencer Davis, who actually knew Brennan back in high school. He'll talk about that as well. And that's who we are going to talk to, Spencer Davis, who's been posting some Brennan Hanafy content on Twitter and has worked with him this offseason, says Hanafy should be ready and we should be ready to see the improvements made in Hanafy's game. And we're thinking there's a good chance he could be in Double-A Bowie in 2021. So coming up right after the break, we talk with Spencer Davis, again, the pitch development coordinator at Next Level Athletic Development, and we're talking about one of the Orioles' top 30 prospects. That's the right-hander, Brennan Hanafy. So we'll get to that interview in just a sec, but first, got to tell you about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers and phones with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com has everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write Locked On Orioles in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And before we get to our chat with Spencer, just got to tell you about a new podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. As of course, right here, we've got you covered about everything Orioles, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your pods. And now here's Spencer Davis as we talk about the Orioles' right-handed pitcher in their system, one of the more exciting righties they have, Brennan Hanafy. All right, so we welcome Spencer Davis into the podcast. He is pitch development coordinator at Next Level Athletic Development, and he joins us today to talk about his work with Brennan Hanafy. But first, Spencer, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And so we bring you on to talk about Brennan Hanafy, as I said, and you know, this all came together in the last couple of days after seeing you tweet out and retweet some videos of Hanafy working this offseason. And you know, he's a pretty interesting Orioles prospect. You know, he's not a top 10 guy in the Orioles system. He's not, you know, one of their what they hope to be future number ones, like guys like DL Hall and Grayson Rodriguez. But he's an interesting prospect and a fourth round pick back in 2016. So first I got to ask, you know, how did you get connected with Brennan and start working with him?
So he is from the same area as I am, and he was a freshman in high school when I was a senior. And then after I graduated college, I was just looking around to coach, and then the Next Level happened to have an opening, and I went and talked to Mike Barton, my boss, and it kind of just got started. They were starting kind of baseball stuff there, and it kind of just started, and we started working. He was just there, and that's kind of how it started.
And so he's a guy who's working there in the off season. We know a lot of different players will use a lot of different facilities for work in the off season, but kind of for Brennan Hanafy, you know, he's been known as a guy in the Orioles system who, you know, if he does eventually make it, he's going to be a ground ball guy. And you know, everyone thinks of him as kind of a sinker ball pitcher, but from what you've seen from him, you know, how did you kind of evaluate him as a pitcher, you know, at the beginning, and you know, what has he kind of worked on with you and at that facility?
So I've kind of let Brennan choose his own role, and he fed up, like, just let me know what he wanted to work on. I never really pressured him into doing anything, because at the end of the day, it was his career that we are impacting. And so I told him what I thought, and then kind of over the last couple of years, he's reached out a little bit more and had some more like insight, like what he wanted to work on, like, this is what I need to do. So it's kind of gone from me just kind of watching his bullpens on Rapsodo to now we kind of talk almost on a daily basis, like, okay, this is what we did yesterday. What do you think? What do I think? Like that kind of stuff.
So what would you say was his biggest goal, you know, going into 2020, especially with the fact that he didn't get to pitch, you know, really in the Orioles system last year? The minor league season gets wiped out. And so he's going from 19 to 21 with obviously a lot of time to work, because it's a really long off season. But what has been kind of his biggest goal going into 21?
I think he wants to rebound definitely from that 2019 rough year that he had, a little bit down, kind of started very slow and then kind of picked up at the end. And I think he wants to, last year he was going to try to build off that end of 2019 and just really never did. So I think 2021 wants to be the year where he kind of moves out the organization and starts to cement himself as one of their top pitching prospects.
So, you know, we saw the video that Barton Smith tweeted out, and Alex Fast, you know, kind of put it on everybody's timeline as well, of the late break for Brennan Hanafy, and you know, a lot of sink on his pitches that he's had in the past, but he's starting to look even better and better. And I saw, you know, some of this has to do with the seam shift and, you know, kind of just explain, you know, what the SSW is that kind of people in pitching communities talk about, and, you know, what kind of Brennan has worked with to get that late movement on his pitches.
Yeah. So Barton's definitely the guy on seam shifted wake, and he can definitely give a better explanation of it. But the way that I look at it is the seams orient in a way where you create a wake on one side of the ball to give the late movement down or arm side, depending on the pitch, or glove side. Actually, he added a four seam, which is the opposite seam shifted wake of his two seam, which kind of goes, cuts up and moves to up and to the left, which he is ecstatic about, because he's told me he's never been a guy that's able to throw like a true four seam that just stays straight. They always look like his two seam. So we've added that. And then we're trying to do the same thing with his two seam and get that late break. So hitters kind of don't know, like, it's not super early, so hitters swing over the top or weakly hit ground balls.
Yeah, and that's kind of the question, you know, is he trying, you know, and there may not be a good answer to this at this point, as he's still working, but is he trying to become just a better and better, you know, ground ball, weak contact pitcher, or is he looking to become more of a swing and miss guy than he's been in the past?
Yeah, so he's definitely knows he needs to improve his swing and miss. Now, does he need to become like Trevor Bauer and Scherzer and those guys that just strike out a ton? I don't think so. I think for Brennan, we've been talking about, he needs to know that he can get a swing and a miss when he needs to get it. So sure, that might not be 15 strikeouts in the game. It might be six, but all six came with a guy on second and one out or something like that. Like, so we're just really working on improving. Hey, can I get a swing and miss here? I can. All right, this is a pitch I go to. So it's kind of a, I would say, a combination of both. Like, obviously you need to have ability to get swings and misses, but I wouldn't say it's like, oh, Brennan's going to be a big swing and miss guy.
Yeah, I mean, I know he'd love to get more strikeouts, obviously, but even if he's getting that weak contact, he's going to continue to get better and better. And then the other thing is kind of, you know, how much of this played into control stuff? Because he was a guy who always had really good control in the Orioles system up until that 2019 season. You know, he was right around about a walk and a half per nine until he went up to four in 19. So how much of this plays into him? You know, obviously I know he probably wanted to get those walk numbers back down going into this.
Oh, yeah. So with his control, 2019, really, I'm not sure. I don't know what really went wrong, but he definitely has changed his movement patterns a little bit on the mound. He's definitely moving a lot better. And from what I've seen, his command is back. Like, he's starting to figure out, like, all right, this is what I need to do when I need to do it. And like I've told him, for him, his thing's always going to be like, guys are looking balls down to swing. So that sometimes that doesn't have to be in the strike zone. So for the most part, it's just him understanding, like, all right, I'm moving better. I can control my pitches a little bit better. We're getting more strikes.
And then, you know, at this point, you know, even, you know, years ago, even when he first came into the Orioles system, I think he was kind of labeled as this ground ball guy, and everyone kind of talked about the two-seam fastball that he had. Now, you talk about adding a four-seam. What does his off-speed repertoire kind of look like right now? And is that still a focus for him? Because I know, obviously, he's working a lot on the fastballs right now.
Yes. So with his four-seam, it's more of like, hey, most, like, our hitting guy we have, his name's Bayless, who's very good, get really good insight from him. So he's been working with our minor league guy with the Orioles, and he's been just working, hey, see the ball down, hit it. So with that four seam, what that's going to do is just give hitters a second guess, like, oh, wait, he can throw a ball up and it doesn't sink. Just kind of throw him off a little bit. It's not like a pitch that he's going to use a lot. It's just like, hey, we need to mix it up some. For his off-speed stuff, his changeups looks exactly like his two-seam, like same break, same late break. Just bottom drops out of it. And he's worked on that for the past, I would say, year. He really wanted to get a pitch that he could go to other than his two-seam. And changeup was the easiest thing at the time for him. And that's what we went after last year. And I think he was really disappointed he wasn't able to show it in 2020. And then his slider, I think we got the movement where we want to. It's just a matter of now we just fine-tuning it. Like, I think he wants it a little bit harder. It's around like 82 to 83 in live at bats right now. I think he wants to try to get it up to like 86, 87. So it's that like 7 to 8 mile an hour difference off his fastball.
And you know, just real quickly, you mentioned fastball velocity. Has that been any sort of talking point, or, you know, with the amount of movement and, you know, swing and miss stuff that you guys are getting, is it talked about as much that he at all wants to up that velocity?
Yeah, I definitely think his velocity has gone up. The Orioles did give him a velo program that he did before we started pitch design stuff, from like late December to mid-January, I believe. He was doing the velo program the Orioles got. And actually, his first at-bat, live at-bats in the offseason, was his fastball velo was higher than it was in 2019, just throwing off a mound in the middle of a building.
And so last thing for you, Spencer, you know, Brennan goes into this 2021 season. Obviously, we don't exactly know where he's going to be. He's got a full season of high A under his belt. He's going to be 23 in May. So all signs pointing to, if things go well for him, he'll be a double A starting pitcher this year in Bowie. So, you know, especially if that happens and with what he's been working towards, you know, really in the past almost 2 years with the shutdown and his 2019 season, you know, what do you think a really successful 2021 looks like for Brennan Hanafy?
So for Brennan, I don't know what the Orioles like exact plans are with like his contract and like all that stuff. But just what I think would be that he does really well in double A, gets a chance at triple A, and then starts to come in that conversation of, hey, I'm on the 40 man. Like there's a good chance I'll be in invite to spring training in 2022 and I'm making the big league roster.
Yeah, and that's what's exciting about him. You know, he's kind of a crop of guys that, you know, the Orioles system and the pitching, you know, you've got D.L. Hall and Grayson Rodriguez at the top who are their top prospects. Then you've got the group of guys they added to the 40-man this year. And then Brennan kind of comes in that next wave of guys who could be added to the 40-man, you know, over the next year, as you said. And it's definitely exciting to see guys like him, you know, putting in the work in the offseason and continuing to get better as the system gets better as a whole. But Spencer, thank you so much for joining us. A lot of good insight on Brennan Hanafy and a guy that, you know, I think will be a double A this year. And if he has some success in Bowie, he's really going to start turning some heads. But thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.
So back to the Orioles talk in just a second, but first got to tell you about betonline.ag. It's the fastest way and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Now, I know we're still almost a month away from opening day and these baseball games really counting, but it is March. That means March Madness, the NCAA tournament coming up in college basketball, also the NBA and the NHL in full swing as well. And BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. It's got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. So if you're looking to place a wager, BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head over to the website and use your mobile device maybe to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus when you use the promo code LOCKEDON with your first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON with your first deposit to receive a 50% welcome bonus. And you can get that all at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So Connor Newcomb back here with you, Locked On Orioles. Our thanks again go out to Spencer Davis for joining the pod again. He is the pitch development and softball pitching coordinator at Next Level Athletic Development in Virginia. That is where Brennan Hanafy worked out this offseason. You know, really the big things to take away from that conversation is that vertical depth on the sinker for Brennan Hanafy, and it seems like it's going to get more guys out, get more guys to beat that ball into the ground and get some more swings and misses as well. And then, you know, really the work that Spencer talked about that he and Brennan did with his off-speed stuff as well. Really good conversation with Spencer, who actually said that was the first time he'd ever appeared on a podcast of any kind, but a great guest to have to talk about Brennan Hanafy, who, again, you know, is not one of the Orioles' very, very top guys in their system. You know, the latest installment of the top 30 prospects at MLB.com doesn't even have him ranked. You go to Prospects 1500, they have him 25th. Most places kind of put him between, you know, somewhere between 25 and 40 in the Orioles system as far as prospects go. But, you know, he's definitely a sleeper. And, you know, he had those great 2 years we talked about. Dominant in 17 in Aberdeen. Dominant in 2018 in Delmarva. And, you know, things just didn't go his way in 2019 in Frederick. And then, of course, no minor league season last year. He was not a guy who was at the alternate side in Bowie. So he gets all this time to put in this work like we talked about. And he's going to come back and potentially be at Double A Bowie here in 2021. And that could be big for Brennan Hanafy and for the Orioles, and I think he could be someone who really surprises people here this season. Now, speaking of minor league baseball, of course, we got the news yesterday, Jeff Passan first to report that, you know, we had known that the AAA season was planning to start on time a couple days after the major league season, and then the rest of the minor league seasons on the lower levels would start the first week of May, a month later. Well, Jeff Passan reported, and many confirmed yesterday, that that is no longer the plan, that now they will also push back the AAA season tentatively to start the first week of May. So now all minor league baseball is scheduled to start that first week of May, saying to give for greater time for larger vaccine rollout, with President Biden saying yesterday that he thinks there'll be vaccines available for every American by May 31st. But with that news, it means that most and probably all teams are planning on bringing back the alternate sites at the very least for the first month of the season. So I would expect for all of April, the Orioles' top prospects and, you know, those 4A guys on minor league deals who would be in Norfolk are mostly going to be at the alternate site. It's really going to be the entire or close to the entire Norfolk roster, and then the top prospects as well. It's going to be a similar grouping to who was at the alternate site last year. So, you know, we'll see how that plays into, you know, guys getting called up and development. And obviously we saw last year that the alternate site kind of allowed for younger guys to get call-ups maybe earlier than they expected across baseball. And the other thing was, you know, baseball didn't want to play the risk of having, you know, an Orioles player or some player in AAA have to fly essentially commercially because they weren't willing to shell out money to fly them privately. They didn't want someone who was in another city to fly commercially overnight to the big league city and, you know, risk being infected and then not be able to come to the team when they, you know, need guys to replace other players, you know, for a couple days and then send them back to AAA. Obviously, the alternate site gets put pretty close to your major league stadium, well within driving distance. It makes things a lot easier for calling up and sending players down like they did in the 2020 season. So AAA, along with every other minor league season, pushed back to at least the first week of May. I could even see it being pushed back even more with the way things are going. And Major League Baseball, the owners just continue to hurt minor league baseball. Of course, they cut the 40 teams this offseason. And this news means everybody in minor league baseball is going to be losing money, losing games even more so here in 2021. So we'll definitely keep you updated with how that plays out. But, you know, speaking of minor league baseball here on the podcast, you know, it goes across the country and gives everyone a look into the great game of baseball. And, you know, we know you're an Orioles fan if you're listening to this podcast, but if you're a fan of the game itself as well, maybe check out Locked On MLB. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, but please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories, Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure to subscribe to Locked On Orioles as well. Leave us a rating and a review on the pod if you can. That really helps us out over here. But that's it for today. We're going to be back tomorrow on the pod. We will talk a little bit about Thursday's game for the Orioles. Will not be broadcast. We'll talk a little bit about what we see in the box score and what we see from the writers. And then Kevin Carroll is going to join us. He's the voice of the Rome Braves in the Braves system. Talk a little bit more about that Tommy Malone trade and who the Orioles got back, the two infielders, A.J. Graffinino and Greg Cullen. We're going to talk about those guys a little bit further and talk about, you know, kind of that steal for Mike Elias, how he turned Tommy Malone into two prospects. So that's all coming up tomorrow on the pod. But until then, this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.